right, 10 o'clock in the City of Champions. Time to welcome in our next guest and the Puck Report brought to you by Fountain Tire. Make the shift to more savings. Save up to 25% on select tires till the end of the month, plus a bonus of $50 off any service of $150 or more. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. Some restrictions do apply as we welcome in former Oiler and the newest member of the Oilers Hall of Fame, Charlie Huddy. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning. How we doing?
It sounds like you're in the garage tuning up the bike for the road trip, or what's going on?
I'm getting ready for it soon, yeah.
When's the last time you had a chat with your old buddy Grant?
Been a while, I think.
Well, Fierzy, here
remember.
You go.
Yeah, it's been a while, Fierzy.
It's been a day or two.
Fierzy lost my phone number, apparently.
Does that happen quite often, Grant?
Yeah.
No, I don't wander back to the city as much as I'd like to.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well,
I guess when you're golfing in Palm Springs all winter, it's not bad.
You know what? It's not a bad thing. Yeah. You'd enjoy it down here. You can ride your bike year-round.
I know. I hear you.
Maybe not in the summer. It's a little warm for a bike ride here.
Yeah, it's too hot in the summer for sure.
I'm sure Charlie would figure something out, head out on a little trip for sure.
Yeah, that's right. He would.
Yeah, Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440. Well, Charlie, you were at the game last night, and nice little intro on the Jumbotron until that guy stood up in front of you and blocked you out.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That boy, he felt so bad, that guy. He must have turned around like 15 times because he had no idea, right? You know what it's like. Go to the games, and as soon as you see the camera coming near you, everybody's jumping and whatever and stuff like that. So he had no idea, but he was apologetic. I mean, I said, okay, you know, it's fine. It happens. Hey, don't worry about it. It's all good.
That was funny. What'd you make of the game last night, Charlie?
Well, it was a pretty solid game by Edmonton, obviously. I thought LA started really good. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was. I mean, they came out and they had a game plan early. They were getting pucks deep and they were on the body and they caused some turnovers, and they defended well for a bit until Edmonton got going and got their legs. I think, you know, sometimes when you start out at home, that first 5 or 10 minutes, you'd like to be going the other way. And sometimes you're just a little on edge and you don't make the plays you want to play and you get some turnovers and stuff like that. And the other team knows that, you know, LA knows that if once Edmonton gets that puck, that they're going to start coming hard at them and getting it deep and getting in and on them. So they kind of reverse the roles for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then Edmonton kind of just move forward from there.
Yeah. Grant, you want to get Charlie's perspective on something that you saw last night as well?
Actually, from the other night, how about the Jets-Colorado little defensive struggle?
Yeah, that was
How happy would you be coaching that?
Yeah, that would have been fun. I wasn't expecting Hellebuck to give up six. I think they had, what was the stat? The other guy had 38 wins and Bucky had 37 wins, and then they go out there and it's last shot on net wins and it's 7-6. Like, it was just like, oh my God. I mean, they, you know what, both teams got some firepower though. The Jets got some good offense out of those, the guys that they got there with Scheifele and Connor and Nicky Ehlers and, you know, Toffoli and got those guys, and obviously the other side with McKinnon and Rantanen. And those, I mean, it's just I mean, anytime they get a chance in around that net or in that slot area, you know what, there's a good chance it's going to go in. I mean, you know, the goalie's got to be making some five bell saves when those guys get that puck in the danger area.
Yeah. What would you have said? You were in Winnipeg 10 years with a lot of those guys, Charlie. What would you have said to them, you know, after that game and that defense core, and what would you say to them heading into game two tonight?
You know what? I think it's just, it's a one-off game. You don't want to see that happen in the playoffs because you're not going to win a lot of games when you're giving up six. I think they've got to move the puck a little bit quicker. I think they got caught a couple times, their defense holding on to it too long. I mean, Sandberg tries to come around the net and turns it over, and you can't do that if you're going to if you're going to win games. I mean, Colorado's got some speed up front. They're going to get on you, and they've got, you know, they got good sticks. They're going to knock some pucks down. So I think the biggest thing is just getting back as quick as you can and getting back and getting that puck moved up to the forwards without looking to make the hard play. Just sometimes, you know what, we always used to say, sometimes around the board, mm-hmm. board isn't a bad play. If you got nothing, it's rather than it's better than going up the middle and causing a turnover and then maybe end up in the back of your net. At least you can fight the battle along the wall with your wingers and stuff. You know what? Wingers don't like it because they like to get the puck nice and clean and have some speed and get going. But sometimes that option's not there. So I think they just got to, you know, and it gets back to it's the same thing, right? It's the defense, but it's the five guys out on the ice. You know, lots of times, I know when I was there, it was like, well, the D zone coverage is, you know, is bad. Like, you know, what are they doing, the defense? Or, well, it's just not the two guys back there. It's five guys out on the ice. The two defensemen can't cover five guys. So you need some help from the forwards sometimes. But, you know, I think they'll be all right. Their defense is, they're good. They've got guys back there that can skate with Morrissey and those guys, Pionk and stuff. So they'll be okay.
Yeah. Grant?
Like good old-fashioned Smythe division defense.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was looking like. Want to make the perfect play and want to get up there and score every time we can.
Yeah. You guys never had games like that. You guys never had games like that, did you?
Yeah, no. Would Kauf say, Fierzy, no money in defense, right?
Yeah, how about Kauf as a defensive specialist now?
Yeah, no, I know. Hey, Jesus, that's pretty good. I didn't see that one coming, but you know what? Good for him. He's got he's earned those guys' respect back there. They know the kind of player that he was, and they're going to, when he's talking to them, they're going to pay attention. He knows the game, and he understands what it takes to win. And those guys are listening to him, and they've improved a lot over the last little while. The one guy for me that's gotten a lot better, and he was just a young guy, is Desharnais. I mean, I think at the start of the year he was just okay, you know, and now he's turned into a solid defenseman. You know, there's a couple of flaws here and there, but yeah. Overall, you know what, he's a big, strong body and good on the penalty kill, blocking shots, not afraid to get into it and get a little physical, which you need during the playoffs.
Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440, Kevin Carey's show with Grant Fuhr. Grant brought it up in the sense of Paul Coffey. And when he got hired, Charlie, you heard everyone in town going, what are they hiring Paul Coffey for? You know, what are they moving him into an assistant coaching job for? But the job that he has done is simply remarkable. Can you just address that and what you thought about it at the time and then now what you see, what he's accomplished here for the last several months?
Yeah, you know what, I was kind of shocked that he wanted to do it. I mean, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time, but you know what, he's got a passion for the game, and it's everybody doubted it because it's not easy to have not coached in the NHL and then just walk into a team, or not even coming out of, like, say, the American League or whatever case, and having, you know, gotten down there and, you know, whatever, learned the new systems that are in and, you know, matchups and things like that. It's not that easy, you know? So I think that's why a lot of people doubted him, because he was obviously a great Hall of Fame player, but never stood behind the bench. So people maybe had question marks on that, but you know what, you've got all that experience. You understand the game. Like I said before, you got the respect of the six guys that are playing back there for you. So you'll be able to, you know, guide them through. And it's, you know, I'm sure the other coaches helped him out. Mark Stewart's a great guy. Had him in Winnipeg, just a real solid, solid individual that played hard every night and battled as hard as he could to, you know, to stay in the game every night. So I'm sure Coff's learned a lot from those guys. And again, you know, as you go through it, you get, you know, you get a few games under your belt, you get some confidence, and then you just kind of go from there. So he's got, he's done a great job.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Grant?
I thought Coff's been really good. Charlie must have rubbed off on him a little.
Yeah.
What was the old line? You take care of the corners, I got the front of the net.
Yeah. You work both corners, I'll just stay here in front of the net.
He didn't stay there very often.
Show Slats how hard you can work and show me you really want to be here and play in the NHL. It's like, okay.
Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440. You did mention Vinny Desharnais, Charlie. And just what do you make of his, you know, evolution as a player, where he came, you know, at the start of the year, he grabbed that number six job and just did not want to let go of it. But even just, you know, prior to that, you know, being out east and, you know, going to the minors, and it's just been a long, successful road for him so far.
Yeah, you know what? It's sure. I mean, you can just tell. I talked to him one day there. There was a function, and we were in the room. A real nice guy. I had a good long conversation with him. Just kind of a general conversation, but you could just tell that it's something that that is in his blood, and he wants to play in the NHL, and he wants to stick around, and he's gonna give everything that he's got to do that. You know, as he got the skill of a Bouchard or some of those guys, you know, I know, but he's got stuff that those guys don't have. He's a big body. He plays hard. I mean, you know what? I think his stick's gotten a lot better. I mean, it sounds like a crazy little thing, but when you're playing defense, you guys got to realize how much that stick is important and how much it can save you. You know, like, I mean, even last night, Ekholm made a couple of plays, that one coming back and knocked it down and knocked it again out of the zone. So little things like that, but I think he's improved on that. And I think that, I think missing, you know, going back and making some plays, I think that's improved. And you know what, that just comes from confidence and, you know, Koff putting him out there. I'm sure Koff's talked to him a lot, Koff putting him out there in certain situations. And he's got the respect of Paul, you know, and he's just, you know what, you like guys like that to succeed, because you know that it's in his blood, and he just wants to stick around. He's going to give you everything he's got at the end of the night. When he gets into that dressing room, there's not going to be a whole lot left in him. You know, he's going to leave everything on the ice. And you know what? You at the end of the day, those are the guys that you win with.
Mm-hmm. Grant.
All right, Charlie, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Uh-oh.
So I know. Why is it that defensive defensemen don't get any votes for the Norris?
Yeah, good question, Piercy. I really don't know. You know, it's just like it's all about the points. I think part of it is just the skill of it. I mean, like, you look at Hughes in Vancouver, the way he moves along the blue line and the, you know, getting into the open and being able to get a shot through, and you know, the speed that he's got and things like that. And I mean, that's what draws the attention to people, right? And it's, you know, it's the other side of it is your defensive defenseman. People aren't really looking at, well, he's not a very skilled guy. Oh, he's back there. Yeah, he's blocking shots and defending the net well, or, you know, battling in the corners hard and things like that. But, you know what? Yeah, it just, you're right. It goes unnoticed. You know, like, someday you'd like to see a guy that's, you know, that's battled and had a good season, had maybe whatever, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 points, you know, and battled hard every night and you know, has been a good solid player. But I'm going to guess that that's not going to happen anytime soon. Yeah, you got to have a little fancy in your game, I guess.
And you know what, Charlie, do you remember... Well, you won the Emory Edge Award back in 83.
Yeah.
That was for plus-minus?
Yeah, plus-minus, yeah. I think Gretz is still mad at me at that, because he said that he was like, he said it was miscalculated or something. He should have been like plus 64 or something.
So you were plus 62.
62, yeah. And I think he got in at 59 or 60 or something like that. And it was just like, I go, okay, you got every other troll. Like, you know, like, how about let somebody else get something different? You know? Like,
yeah, let someone else win something.
Yeah, it was just a, you know, a slug back playing defense get a chance. But you know what? It was an honor. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same. Everybody says, well, it's not a great stat because you just get out on the ice and you didn't do anything, but you got a plus for that. Or I just got out on the ice and I didn't do anything and I got a minus. But I said, you know what? It's a stat they keep. That's kind of where the stats started. All the stuff that we've gotten into right now. And I said, you know what? At the end of the day, when I'm trying to get a new contract or sign with a new team, it looks a lot better at plus 62 than it does minus 62. Mm-hmm. You know, taking the stat the way you want to take it. I'm not going to be able to argue that. Well, you know what? I wasn't really involved in 30 of those goals, so I should only be like minus 32 instead of minus 60. You know what I mean? People. So, but anyways, you know what? It was an honor to be able to win that, and very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Charlie, you were, you know, in the stands yesterday. You're in down in Ice District before. Can you just describe what you see down there when you go to a playoff game, and compare it to, you know, how you felt when you were playing in all the great games in the 80s when you had the fan support that you had?
Yeah, you know what? It was unreal to see. I mean, back in the old rink, they didn't have that area, the ice district and stuff for people to gather. And obviously the rink wasn't near as big, but it was pretty damn loud in there once it got going. And, you know, it's just a great atmosphere. I mean, we all know what the fans are like in Edmonton. They're diehard Oilers fans, and they live and breathe hockey every day. And you can tell when they get down there, they're just all fired up and they're ready. I mean, for people to go down there, like I was down there at around 6:15, I think it was, when the game didn't start to 8:15 or 8:20, whatever time it actually got going. But there was a lot of people already down there, and I'm thinking, man, these people are going to be standing from now until about 11 o'clock or whatever time that game ends. Like, that's a long, but you know what? They enjoy it. And it looked like everybody was having a good time by the time I left at 7:30 or whatever time I got out of the ice district at. It's such a great atmosphere. And then you get into the rink and it's the same thing. I mean, that building's loud. I mean, I'm sure it's loud when you're sitting in the stands, but I'm sure when you're down on the bench and down on the ice, it's at times it gets real loud. You can really feed off of the energy of the fans. But again, we all know what the fans are like, and it gives the players energy, and it's just a great atmosphere to be in.
Fierzy, you got one more for your buddy Chuck?
Yeah. So Charlie, when are you getting back into coaching?
Yeah, I'm done, Fierzy, I think. I'm like you. I got me and Karen went to down to Yuma, Arizona, in middle of November, and we just got back last week. And I'm kind of like you. You know what? It wasn't bad. The weather was pretty good. And I've been in the cold weather and then the snow for about 40 years or whatever. So it's nice to get out. And we got a motor home. We drove that down, and we sit out in front. I got a TV on it, and we sit out there and watch the Oilers games. The place that we're staying at, there's probably, I don't know, 65% of the P. It's not a very big place, like 450 spots and stuff, but probably 65% of the people are from Alberta. So it's there's a lot of oil country down in Yuma too. So it was good. So I guess to answer your question, Jersey, probably done. You know what? I had a good run. I did it for 20 whatever years, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's like you miss being around the rink, going down to practice and being in there, and then you get into the action of the game. You miss that part of it. But, you know, it's people, I know people realize the hours that you put into coaching. You just don't get to the rink at 9 o'clock and put a practice together and then go out and practice for an hour and then get home at 1 o'clock. I mean, it's a lot of hours. There's lots of mornings where you're down there at the rink at, you know, at 6 o'clock, and you don't get out of there till 5 or 6 at night, you know, putting a game together for the next game, or putting a game plan or doing video and stuff, getting ready for teams. And especially in the playoffs, it's a grind, but, you know what? I enjoyed it for the time that I did it, and I don't have time to relax and just sit back and watch it as a fan.
Hey Charlie, if the Oilers don't have Stanley Cup success, and it, as you know, no one has to tell you this, how hard it is to win the Stanley Cup, but what would it mean, I guess, to Winnipeg and even yourself being there for, you know, a good decade to see the Jets have some really, really solid playoff success here?
Yeah, you know what? It would be good. I mean, I know I enjoyed my time there, like you said, and they've got good ownership there. And I know they had their struggles through the season getting fans in the building. And you know what? Hopefully the playoff run will reintroduce the fans and the excitement back into the game. And hopefully they'll draw well next year. And you know, see how far they go. I mean, it's they've got a pretty good, well balanced team. And with the exception of last game, Hellebuck is a pretty good goalie. I mean, he's got a chance probably to win the Vezina, I think. And, you know, he's you know what it's like. We got Fierzy and Andy Moog back there. And if you got a good goaltender, you've got a good chance of going out and winning every game. And, you know, that's why we were successful. I always said we had great players, but you need that one last guy to make that big save for you when it's 3-2 and there's, you know, 5 minutes to go. And the goalie makes a big save for you. You know, that's what you need. And Hellebuck can do that for sure.
Hey, Charlie, thanks so much for this. Get that Harley tuned up.
Okay, yeah, we'll get her going. Okay, we'll talk to you. See if yours will enjoy that hot weather coming at you.
Oh, yeah. It's always good down here when it's warm. We'll see you soon, John.
I hear you. Okay, see you, buddy.
All right, that's Charlie Huddy and our Puck Report brought to you by Fountain Tire. Head to fountaintire.com to check out their summer tire lineup and brand offerings. What do you remember when he first came to the Oilers? You guys basically came at the same time, maybe, what, a year apart, Grant?
I'm not even sure we were a year apart. We literally came around the same time.
Yeah, he was in Wichita.
Yep, he played for Muck down in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie was that basic, solid, stay-at-home defenseman that was better offensively than he ever got credit for.
Well, I got in that year that he won that Emory Edge Award, 20 goals, 37 assists, plus 62. You know, what more do you want?
I would say it's pretty solid.
Yeah, what more do you want with that? When we come back, we'll go, are you in or are you out with Grant Fuhr? That's coming up on the Kevin Carey Show on Sports 1440. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to the big show. Duke, how long did it take you to put together this in or out? Was it a tough one, quick one, easy one?
Well, the nice thing about this time of year, it's actually almost harder to decide what topics to cover because we know this is a hockey heavy market, but with such a great night of the NBA games we touched on earlier, the Blue Jays are kind of rolling. I wanted to get that in the mix since we had a baseball guest today as well. So I would say this one was hard, but not for the usual reasons, because it was a matter of like more eliminating a couple other types of questions.
All right, let her buck. Sorry, I put you under the gun there.
Okay, you know what? Moving too fast. Bottom line, are you in or are you out?
In or out of what?
No time for questions, just action. In or out.
Well, then I'm out.
I'm sorry, Jet. Actually, you're already in.
Are you in or are you out?
On Sports 1440.
I thought you would go, I'm in, Bob. We would have had a really cool moment, but you kind of ruined the whole thing.
All right, Duke. Let's get at her. Up and at them.
Last night, Oilers victorious in Game 1 of the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. LA Kings over 2 on the power play, while the Oilers went 3-for-4, making the most of the special teams battle. I'm saying the Kings, they got no chance in this series. There's a lot of factors at play, but in particular, no chance if they don't hold the special teams battle to at least an even draw.
I'll let you go first, Fierzy. Go ahead.
I am definitely in on that. If the Kings are going to play shorthanded most nights, then this will be a very quick series.
Mm-hmm. And dumb penalties last night. Really dumb penalties. And Adrian Kempe, after the game, says, on what went wrong, the only thing that comes to mind is you can't be only 1-for-4 on the penalty kill. You have to be careful out there, especially against McDavid. Yada, yada, yada. So I'm agreeing with you, Fierzy. I mean, you're just going in the box. It's just, you're asking for a lethal death match here. And, I mean, you saw the goal by Leon Draisaitl again. Man, that's from an angle like that. There's almost no defense for that, Grant.
No. I mean, you've got to, as a goalie, you got to cheat to that. That's the only chance you have.
Mm-hmm. And then it just tucks it under the bar. I mean, first of all, it's a sharp angle. But to get it up like that so fast, man, it's crazy.
Well, that's the thing, right?
The spot he hit is pretty tiny.
Yeah.
You always say, like, when you're on a penalty kick, somebody's like, yeah, keep him to the outside. They, can't, or from bad angles, out to the wall, can't do damage from there. Well, that's kind of changed a little bit in the NHL in the last number of years, because guys can score from literally anywhere, even behind the net, as we've seen with some of the Michigan moves and things. Not quite as prevalent come playoff time, per se. But, yeah, a very impressive goal by Leon. Special teams battle, pardon me, aside, like, you go down the rest of the list, shots on goal, Oilers outpaced them. Face-off percentage, they won 55 to the Kings 45. Penalty minutes, of course, we already talked about that. The only thing the Kings did better was they out-hit them by a pretty wide margin, but hits are kind of a, I don't know, arbitrary stat.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
usually
70.
Usually the home team gets the benefit of doubt for the in-house stat keepers to boost those numbers. But the Oilers blocked more shots, had less giveaways, more takeaways. Like, it was pretty much a start to finish, pretty well ran roughshod over the Kings. The couple goals at the end that were very, very unlucky made it seem a lot closer than it was. Number 2. Oilers likely to have the most success this playoff run when all 6 of their defensemen, their time on ice at 5-on-5, is within a grand total of 2 minutes within each other across the board.
You know, I'll probably go out on this one. I think that's a little, there's too much of
it. Too tight?
Too tight. I just see, you know, if you've got the four guys that you're going to be going with a little bit more than Kulak and Desharnais, I would see not quite the 2 minutes. It could be four, maybe.
Last night, ballpark. Cody Ceci led the Oilers in defensive, or five-on-five, pardon me, time on ice. The whole team, not just defensemen, 18-30. The lowest among the D-men was Vincent Desharnais at 15-16. So that's 3 minutes and 14 seconds difference from your top guy to your least played guy. Once again, at five-on-five, yeah. Because special teams can take a big role here with the likes of basically Evan Bouchard playing almost a full 2 minutes on a power play every single time.
So, yeah, I'll just say it. I'm out just because of but the question is 2 minutes. So just a bit more, you'll see. I think that's what they'll have success at. Fierzy?
Yeah, I agree with you, Kev. I think if you've got it within 4 or 5 minutes, you're going to be successful, but different situations are going to call for different guys on the ice, especially at playoff time when you're trying to match certain pairings against certain lines that you're playing against. So if you're within 4 or 5 minutes, you'll be successful. The 2 minutes might be just too tight a window.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that sentiment, Grant, like the line matching. Do the Oilers, does Chris Knobloch really deploy, like in terms of his defense pairings, does he really do a lot of line matching? Because I'll be honest, like across all six guys, yes, Kulak and Desharnais are pretty de facto third pair. The other two kind of flip-flop, and you can say Ekholm, your best defensive defenseman. But there's a pretty good argument to say Evan Bouchard is your weakest defensive defenseman at the same time. So do you want him out there against your best guys? Which is kind of why CeCe and Nurse are just by default your shutdown pair, because it's not the high and the low that you see from the other side of the coin. So interesting, interesting that, like I said, I put the 2 minutes range on that, figured you guys might say it was a little bit too tight. I just think the Oilers' best success is using all six guys pretty liberally.
Yeah.
Number three, this should ring pretty true for all of Oilers Nation. Mark Stone turned himself into the biggest villain across the NHL, taking over from the likes of maybe some more pugilistic players, Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves, amongst others. Mark Stone, the new number one guy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd make him the individual villain. I think the Knights as a whole became the villain. Hmm. I mean, you have that gray area in the salary cap, and Vegas has found a way around it, and they've kind of made themselves their own villains.
You know, I agree in that sense, but I will say he is the number one villain, bar none, right now. I mean, it's exciting to hear the crowd give it to Drew Doughty every time he touches the puck. Saw a lot of that last night. But last night, I believe in the intermission, or it might have been after the game, Mark Stone's being interviewed in Dallas, and he can't even hear the question from Leah Hextall because the fans are giving it to him. This is going to go on all playoffs. And as I said earlier in the show, I think it's great that this is someone else's problem right now. And I haven't done a deeper dive on it, Duke. Maybe we'll do it later in the day. How much of a reaction there is in Dallas right now. Mm-hmm. Do Dallas, the Stars.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, but you know how, I mean, up here, if the Oilers were playing Vegas, Grant, right now, people would be going bananas.
And it would, I think, distract the team, probably not, but the fandom, like people in the building, are you focused more on being mad and hating Mark Stone than you are about actually, you know, rooting for your team and you know, concerning yourself with how your team's playing? It would just be like an easy fallback for Oilers fans. Once again, this is a hypothetical because they are not playing in the first round and they will not play in the second round no matter what. But it's like the Oilers fans, and we saw it at the deadline when this all kind of shook down, that there is just a real genuine distaste for the entirety of the Knights franchise, partially because they eliminated them last year, but also because of this skirting the rules and playing within the lines, but their toes are pretty solidly on them.
Petrangelo.
Yeah, they're definitely flirting with that gray area. Yeah. And if you're the Knights, you're happy if people are upset about it.
No such thing as bad press.
Yeah, this is going to just snowball and snowball. Can't wait to see what happens now in game two, because Stone, he scored and then he made a block at the end of the game. It wasn't a game-saving block, but he got his body in front of it. Can't wait to see how this progresses.
Yeah, Vegas, they out-blocked Dallas, which I thought was a big part of that game. Yes. Stone, I mean, he's one of the best defensive forwards in the league. Nothing quite compared to what we saw in Carolina and the Islanders, though, where I believe the final stat line was Carolina had over 100 shot attempts. Islanders, 36 blocked shots, 39 total shots on goal for the Hurricanes. So everything else, you know, missing, deflected, whatever the case. Pretty pretty disparaging numbers there for the out east playoff matchup.
We just brought this up now and then again in the text line, just blowing up again. Wow.
All right, number four. We do take a quick spin away from the NHL playoffs. Dalton Varsho hitting his team-leading sixth home run of the season last night in the Blue Jays' win over Kansas City, first of that set of four. Between that, his play in the defensive field, he's already made a number of highlight reel catches this year. With the kind of slow start from a couple of the other bats, I think it's very likely Dalton Varsho is the Blue Jays' team MVP this season.
I'm out on this one. I don't think he can continue this pace for one. I think there will be other offensive players that will be better than Varsho when it's all said and done. Having said all that, right now the MVP is Jose Berríos. Even though you're marching a pitcher out every 5 days, Berríos has been unreal. I would pick him to be the team MVP right now. Varsho, great start. Hope he continues it. And but for me right now, I'm out on this one. Berríos is the MVP for me.
Yeah, I got to agree. I'm out on that one. I think over the course of 162 games, it's probably a little early to pick somebody as an MVP. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong in the next 3 or 4 months.
Very true. Probably should, like, in my opinion, and I get it because he split time between two positions, probably should have won a gold glove last year. Less than ideal first season offensively. Looks like he got a bit of that figured out. My argument against the pitchers that they go out once every 5 days, I get it, you can go and be dominant every time you're out there. Dalton Varsho, an everyday player, if he can maintain even a semblance of this type of production, I think he will be a big part of the Jays keeping themselves in the playoff hunt and maybe even getting a spot come October. Number five, William Shakespeare. Born this day, probably. Some question marks actually around the validity of this. 1564. Tons of movies, both in reality, like actually based on his works, but also some that are loosely based on his works. And I'm saying the best of those is The Lion King. Plot basically lines up with that of Shakespeare's play Hamlet.
Is that what it is, really?
It's true.
Well, Grant, you can go first on this one because I have no sniff.
Being a fan of The Lion King, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I mean...
Have you seen The Lion King, Kevin?
I love The Lion King.
You've never seen Toy Story.
No, I haven't seen Toy Story, but I've seen... there's a few versions of The Lion King, correct?
There's the original animated, sequel, and then there was a... Well, it's not even live action. Mm-hmm. It's still all CGI, but...
And the real animals that looks like they're talking.
Yeah, but they're not real animals.
I understand that. Yes, thanks.
But they look more like real animals.
Thanks, Tips. Yes, I understand. I've seen them both. I like the second one better. I don't like the one
like
where...
I like the one
where it is sort of... Not that it looks like cartoons.
Beyonce, the voice of Nala. Yes. Childish Gambino, I think Simba.
You know all these... Yeah, Simba. Yeah,
that's... Simba. Oh, yeah, that guy. The main guy.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to just agree so we can get on to some new topics.
Before we move on from... you always love the fifth questions, Kevin, especially when I throw stuff at you have no clue about.
Exactly.
This is a film from... In the mid-2000s, it was like a rom-com sort of thing. It's called She's the Man, Amanda Bynes, Channing Tatum. Okay. That is actually based on Twelfth Night by Shakespeare as well, which a lot of people I don't think know. So that's also a very good film. Amanda Bynes had quite the...
I like the Chris Farley skit, Van Down by the River, when he pulls his glasses up and he goes, is that Bill Shakespeare over there? You know, I like that. Furzy, awesome. Got to get to a couple texts, though, just to about... some conversations we had earlier. This comes from B. Hey, KK, please ask Grant if he remembers about Wichita win game being played at the Coliseum against the Islanders farm team, the Indy Checkers. I believe it was 82. Remember anything about that?
I remember it would have been my second year, I believe, around training campish.
Okay, here's the other one. This comes in from Dougie Jones. Hey, Grant, at least you were allowed to play fastball long enough to play with us in the Mulhurst Bay Open?
This is correct. I did play in it.
Okay.
Probably wasn't supposed to be, but I did manage to play in it.
Which might lead, make a nice transition segue to B-Rad's question. Say there might have been concern about the team's nickname of the 26ers.
Yeah, I played for the Kensington 26ers. So, and good ball club, too. We had a lot of guys that were good ball players. And we played against Doc. Randy Gregg was playing for the Edmonton Tigers at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're excited. Riverhawks baseball is around the corner too. So, Fierzy, thanks a lot for this. What's the schedule? You're just watching games this week as Coachella Valley has the bye first round?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just watching the other teams play. Ontario's got Bakersfield, so we'll keep a close eye on that one. And then just going to watch our guys prepare.
Mm-hmm. I was up in the press box with Cross and Billy Scott last night. They were talking about the drive from Ontario to Bakersfield could last anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, pending traffic.
That's the fun of California right now.
Oh, man.
Should be a two-hour bus ride, but it could be anywhere 2, maybe 6, depending on what's going on around the LA area. So
good stuff.
It'll be good. And they're going 1-1-1 because they are close enough. So that'll be interesting.
All right, Fierzy, thanks for this. We'll talk next Tuesday.
I look forward to it.
All right, that's Grant Fuhr, our co-host every Tuesday from 9 to 11, the Hockey Hall of Famer. When we come back, Nav Ramirak will guest with us in studio. Exciting day here at Sports 1440. We're going 24-7, all sports, all the time, and Nav's a big part of it. That's coming up right after the break on Sports 1440. Stay with us. Hey, Duke, perfect song. Perfect. We're going around the clock. We are going around the clock here at Sports 1440. Exciting announcement today that Turn Sports is set to come aboard Sports 1440, and we will be going 24-7 with sports talk 7 days a week and, you know, tack on Blue Jays baseball, and I think we're building something special here. Excited to welcome in Nav Ramirak from Turn Sports, who's going to be hosting from 6 to 9. Rav? Hey, Nav, thanks for coming in. This is just so awesome.
I appreciate it.
How excited are you about
this? I'm so excited. I saw the tweets and the press release going out this morning. Yeah. I kind of was saying, man, I feel like this has been a culmination of the last 8 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Just doing sports, loving sports my whole life, playing everything growing up. I feel like now I get to finally build in the city of Edmonton, you know, and be a part of what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
What you guys are doing for so many years. So it's incredible.
Well, so give us a little bit about your background, Nav, and, you know, what you've been doing before and like what you're expecting coming up here starting May 1st.
For sure. Yeah. Last like 7 years, I've been building global sports brands. So I have a brand called In The Lab based in Los Angeles, which is a global basketball brand. And I also have something called Brown Ballers, which is the home for South Asian athletes. Mm-hmm. So both very big, like social media kind of brands where we create content, apparel, and do things all over the world with basketball and other sports. And of course, do some consulting with brands like the Harlem Globetrotters and other things like that. So very much sports is my life 24/7. And now I'm excited to kind of come here and of course do a sports show where we talk about NBA, NHL, NFL, all the big sports, but add a little South Asian twist and just have fun with it, you know, and just be myself and get to meet people. And, you know, I love how you guys have the text list.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to kind of engage with the community.
That's the key part. And I'll be honest, you know, I was in television for 34 years. This was new to me coming to radio. And I wasn't sure exactly how to figure out the whole texting thing with people. I know how to text, so stop. So don't say people that I don't know. But just with our listeners texting in and reacting to them. Yeah. And, you know, you want to have that interaction. So just touch on what this show is going to be all about. You did mention it a little bit, but just to expand a little bit.
Yeah, we're definitely going to touch on all the major sports leagues. I'm a big NBA guy, big basketball fan. So obviously we're in the playoffs right now, so we'll cover hockey, we'll cover the Oilers, cover the NBA playoffs. We're going to see if LeBron's going to make it or not and, you know, solidify his greatness at the throne. And then, of course, we're going to sprinkle in some South Asian content. So I'm going to bring on some South Asian guests, feature South Asian athletes. We'll talk about sports around the world, too. Like, we'll talk about cricket.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some things maybe we're not talking about all the time in the city of Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of have fun with it. Kind of, you know, and give people some exposure to some new sports and cover the big leagues.
You mentioned cricket, and people do not realize how big of a sport that is in Edmonton.
It's big.
It is massive. Again, working at Global, I went out to do a story on just the history with this in our city. I got a whole bunch of pictures. I'm going to have to look back in the archives and find that story. But you go down to Victoria Park, you know, on a weekend, it's jammed down there.
Yeah. They're playing. They're multiple games going, hundreds of people out there. And yeah, growing up, they used to play in Millwoods Park.
Yeah.
I used to be blown away by, like, what's the sport everyone's playing? And, you know, it's just gone bigger and bigger every single year.
Yeah. When I would go down there, and I couldn't believe, again, the amount of people that are down there and support it.
Yeah.
So when you say the South Asian sports, and you want to branch off and you want to create that niche, even though that you will focus on basketball, hockey, how do you balance that?
Yeah, I think the balance will come of just an understanding of, like, it's all about just giving representation and kind of, like I said, building the community and giving us some of the people in the community a voice. And, of course, just showcasing the athletes that are around the world doing great things. I think for us growing up is always just like, hey, can we look up to someone who looks just like us? And mm-hmm. I want to just bring that part to the radio station and bring some of those people in studio so you can see what they look like live and what they're doing in the world of sports, right?
Yeah.
And it'll evolve over time. It'll start right now heavy in playoffs and things.
Yeah.
I think over time in summer when there's no major sports leagues, we'll dive further into that kind of stuff.
Ah, cool stuff. Nav Ramirek with us. We're about to go 24/7 May 1st. So what have you got to do? You know, it's we're a week away kind of thing.
A week away, yeah. No, so it's been exciting. Came here yesterday, got to meet everyone in the studio, meet some of the guys behind the boards, and now we're going to get acclimated. We're going to get everything set up, learn everything, the ins and outs, get our music set up, get the intros, outros going, and just get ready for the playoffs, man. I got my Oilers cap on. I'm going to, bring hopefully some good luck and, be covering this all the way to the Cup Finals, mm-hmm. just have some fun with it.
Just your background again, did you always want to get into sports broadcasting? What was that journey like? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I feel like ever since I've been in sports, so I lived in LA for about 5 years. Yeah. And when I lived in LA, I got to meet all these amazing people, and most of them were talent in some form or fashion. And I fell in love with what they did. They're mm-hmm. on air, they're on TV. They got to talk about their passions every single day and wake up. And again, this is not a job for us, right? This is, in my opinion, a lot of fun. Yeah. And, that's what I'm looking forward to.
How'd you make your way here?
I'm born and raised here.
Okay,
I'm a Millwoods boy.
Okay, how'd you get to LA then?
Yeah, I got to LA through this brand called In the Lab. One day I just decided, hey, there's this guy in LA. I brought him out here to run a camp. Mm-hmm. He's a famous basketball trainer.
Yeah.
And I say, look, man, I love your brand so much. I'd love to come to LA and build this with you.
All right.
And I went. We did it for 5 years together. Now 7 years later, we're still here building it.
Yeah. What did you learn in LA with that sports market?
Yeah.
I mean, wow, you look at the diversity.
It's incredible.
You look at everything in the sense of all sports.
Yep.
Man, that's learning on the fly there.
I think the biggest thing I did in my life was go to LA.
Yeah.
Not only did I meet people, like I said, the experiences, the things I learned, and just how different the culture is there for sports and everything in general, like, it opened my eyes to so much and allowed mm-hmm. me to learn. And now come back and, be able to have a radio show.
Yeah, well, it's going to be exciting. Nav Ramirek is with us. He'll be taking over the airwaves 6 to 9. How did this come about, and who's going to be involved with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
As the project started, talking about it with, JR, Jackie Ray, and everyone here to get to where it is going to be launching in 1 week on May 1st.
Yeah, so obviously all the kudos goes to Supreet, who's the owner of Turn Radio, and she's the one who brought Turn Sports up mm-hmm. and brought me this concept and idea, and I said, yeah, I would love to build it out with you and grow it, and then from there she introduced me to Jackie and everyone else, and kind of the wheels started rolling and turning. And, now we're here, but it's all because of Supreet. She founded this station, and now she's giving me her baby in Turn Sports, and I get to kind of take it and see what we can build with it.
And we're excited because if you think about where we came from, September long weekend, we launched here. So in 8 short months,
we've
gone from programming from 7 in the morning, the morning show to Alan Mitchell with the Fantasy Frenzy in between, and then Jason Greger. And then at 6, we were basically done. We ran some music, and then who knows what was running. I think we were still running oldies for a little while. But then we bring Fox in.
Yeah, Fox.
So now we've got Fox from 9 at night till 7 in the morning. Now we've got you from 6 to 9.
Yeah.
So 24/7. So I think for our listeners, they have to be really excited that we have 24 hours every day of sports content.
Yep.
How excited are you to be a part of this? I mean, because we're pretty proud to get this going in 7-8 short months.
I think what you guys have done, since September has been incredible. And like I said, to be able to join some of you guys and being able to talk to Connor and some of these guys, and you guys have been doing this 10 plus years. And it's amazing because, this mm-hmm. is technically going to be my first year. So to come in, to be able to be a part of this with you guys are so experienced, and obviously learn from you and feed off your guys' energy and thoughts. It's going to be incredible.
So Millwoods guy, where'd you go to school?
I went right in the, right in Millwoods. J. Percy Page is my high school.
Okay, cool.
The best high school out there,
Yeah, yeah. Well, big basketball. I mean, J. Percy Page, massive basketball.
Yeah, we're big in sports. Yeah. Man, went to college, Grant McEwen, and just been having fun ever since.
There?
I took business, played basketball there for 3 years as well. So, like I said, sports is just running through my veins, so I'm excited.
Basketball, your number one sport?
basketball is my number one sport, and then the second is soccer, and the closet sport for me is baseball.
Is it?
It's something I don't talk about too much, but now that we have this show, I got to talk about baseball.
Well, you know what? We might be able to sell you a franchise in the Fantasy Frenzy Baseball League. Hey, why can't we get another owner, Duke?
Yeah, he better take over the reins for the Fantasy Frenzy team, because we're not very good, so better squash
you
that
one. Take over Playbook Vic's team after he got slaughtered 10-0 last week.
10 ripped by Kevin's crazy team.
Yeah. Duke had to do our picking. I drafted Kevin's
team, and my team stinks now because I drafted Kevin's. He's sitting near the top of the table.
What'd you make of the Oilers game last night?
Man, I mean, I know you see
got
the hat.
You got
the
lid
on the Oilers today.
Yeah.
Sat in bed, watched it, almost cried. You know, it's just nice to see, man. I love seeing Hyman this year. Mm-hmm. He had an incredible season, and to see him get the Hattie last night. I think there was like 1,200 hats or something thrown on. I just love those moments.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I said this off the top, Dav. They counted 1,131. So don't tell me that there was someone that made the exact count at 1,131.
Someone had to do it.
Just say 1,150 or 1,200, as you just said.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, 1,131. I want a recount, you know. And I don't know where the hats go. They had them in bags. They say they take them to shelters and things
they
like that.
They must donate them, huh? Yeah.
But, I mean, we figured it out. Approximately 6% of the fans last night threw their hats.
That's incredible.
Is it 6?
Hey, yeah, 6%. But funny thing, I don't know if you caught it on Twitter, Kevin. Like, Tyler Yaremchuk at the game. No, the guy next to him paid him $50 to throw his hat over the glass.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and what did I think? We ran that Zach Hyman clip from post game, and he said, yeah, good for the Oilers store. Yeah. A lot of people need to dip in there and get a new one on their way out of the building, probably.
So here's a text coming in from Sam. Hey, Kevin, listener to the show here from Indian descent. I played cricket in E-Town for a while. You are right. Cricket is huge Edmonton and Canada in general. It'll be good to see some diverse coverage on this station. Thanks, Sam. So how are you going to cover cricket in Edmonton? Like, I assume you can get some guests in here. You can figure out.
I think guessing in here is one thing, but I think it's also like the World Cup's coming up in June. It's going to be in New Jersey. It's always the T20s happening year round. Like, there's a lot in the global sports of cricket also to touch on.
Yeah.
And of course, bringing in some of these guests locally to just banter with me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what's happening here, but let's talk about the global scale of how big it is. And it's bigger than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
People don't know how many people are watching cricket. It's pretty insane.
Well, it's similar in the sense, you know, the NHL went over and played in China. And everyone in China watched the game. Well, not everybody.
Yeah.
The amount of people that watch the game in China, when you're talking billions of people, it's a sliver, but it's still really
a lot. It's way more than here.
It's more than in the United States.
Yep.
So it's a cool aspect there. What do you got on your plate in the next week, Nav, that you have to have everything ready to go on May 1st?
I think it's honestly really chill. It's going to be it's gonna be fun. We're going to work with Brussels here, my producer, get some things ready in the background. Like I said, Just get ready for next week covering the NBA and NHL playoffs and then kind of go from there, have some fun. I got some guests coming in already.
Good stuff.
And just see where it goes from there.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to Sports 1440. This is an exciting time for our station, for Sports 1440, for Stingray and everyone involved because, you know, it's been 7.5, 8 months, and now we're 24/7 all sports radio.
The growth is insane. I love it. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thanks, Nav. That's Nav Ramarak, pardon me, from Turn Sports. He'll be hosting from 6 to 9. Do you have a name? Is it just like, what are we looking at here? Is it
Turn Sports?
Turn Sports.
That's
okay.
That's the show.
I thought, you know, cooking with the Nav man, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Hey, I'd like to pitch that in the future if we can take off.
Cooking with the Nav man. All right. So Turn Sports 6 to 9 and Cooking with the Nav man. Why not? Thanks so much to all our guests today. And thanks to the Duke. He made a big save. I almost knocked my glass over, but I caught it and what did I do, Duke?
Well,
I ripped out my headphones. And
you leaned over to catch your giant tin, your 3-pound water bottle over there. You catch it. As a result, kind of jerk your head. You bend the headphone jack. Thankfully, not actually in the desk where it comes in, but your little earbuds inside the adapter that goes into the bigger auxiliary jack. And then you can't hear anything. Specs going on and on, you know, ragging the puck a little bit for us as you're clamoring to get a new set of cans on here.
And so Spec you can was hear wondering Spec. What's going on. Well, I couldn't hear Spec.
And then I got a text from a friend of mine listening back in Delburn. I go over to get a coffee here just when you were on with Charlie and Grant. And who comes out but Marty Stevens saying, what are you guys doing in the studio this morning? It was a little off the rails there for about 30 seconds.
Now I got to go buy some earbuds.
Seconds. Yeah,
there you go. I want to buy some earbuds.
Don't go to the Apple store. They're expensive there.
Really? Oh, well, whatever. I'll just try to find them anywhere. Thanks to all our guests today. Awesome show. Thanks to all your feedback, especially on the disallowed goal by Trevor Lewis. That was great. Loved your passion. Loved your opinions. Just was outstanding. We'll hopefully hear more about it tomorrow and throughout the week as we continue with playoff week with the Oilers. Man, things started off bright and early with Billy Lindsay at 7:20. We had Mark Spector, Frank Saravalli, Josh Bernier from Kansas City, 610 Sports, talking Blue Jays and Royals. We had Allison Sandmeyer Graves, CEO of Canadian Women in Sport, and of course, Charlie Huddy and Nav Ramrak from Turn Sports. Starting on May 1st, we are 24/7 right here. And our co-host, Grant Fuhr, every Tuesday from 9 to 11. Coming up, top of the hour, it is Fantasy Frenzy with the former
Rush Up T-Bird,
Connor Alley, and the Duke of Delburn. We'll have the lowdown with Alan Mitchell, 12 to 2. Jason Greger drives us home from 2 to 6 right here on Sports 1440. And in a week, we can say Turn Sports from 6 to 9. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock, we'll have our co-host, David Schlemko. We will set the table for game number 2. Thanks so much for everybody texting in and being a part of the show. Top of the hour, it is Fantasy Frenzy. Before that, time now for a Sports 1440 update brought to you by Legacy Heating, where their rates never change. No overtime charges on your furnace or air conditioner. That's how you build a legacy at legacyheating.ca. Have a wonderful day, everyone. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 7. Here is the Duke with a Sports 1440 update. Have a great day. Bye for now.